You go through this process, you'll figure out where you are. You'll figure out your current situation. If you want to have five houses, then you need to take care of the mortgages and put them all into this statement. So then you say, this is how much money I need to be making actively and passively in order for me to live the life that I want to live.
If you're a residential real estate agent earning $200,000 a year and you want to grow your passive income, this show's for you. Learn the secrets other agents use and hear from experts in our field in order to guide you along your journey to investing in assets like apartment communities so that you can turn your commissions into cash flow. I'm Randall DeCleard. Let's go, baby.
All right. Welcome back to Agents Building Cash Flow. I'm your host, Randall DeCleard. Really happy to have you here today. Today, we're going to go back to the basics of investing. And I've had some conversations with some agents and some interviewees and guests and people that I want to have on the show. And really, it dawned on me that I need to go back to some of the basics. If I've got some of you that are not investing currently, I really want to know why and what's going on. And so some of the people that I'm bringing on and interviewing and talking to are very far advanced, and they're investing in certain asset classes that we're going to cover and go into. But I feel like it would be beneficial to just simply go back to the basics and really figure out what you need to do in order to take the first steps to invest. And so I've come up with five quick steps that are free, easy for you to use, and you can do it today. You just have to take the time to do it. So I'll highlight them real fast and then I'll dig into them and we can go through. So the first step you should do is figure out your cash flow situation. Are you cash flow positive, negative? All right, it gives you a picture. Second is fill out a personal financial statement. So if you don't have one of these, you really need to. Banks need to see them. You're going to need to want it, and it'll help you again paint the picture of where you are. Next, determine the best strategies for your current situation. Once you have the picture, figure out the best strategies and investment ideas that you can come up with for your situation. Four, you're going to have to come up with your risk tolerance and just figure out. It's really just sitting down, kind of figuring out what you're comfortable with based on the strategies that you can execute on, which one is in your wheelhouse. Yeah, like what's your tolerance level? And then finally, it's making an action plan and sticking to it, actually executing on an action plan to either go and buy your first investment, invest passively in a deal, or even just get more education. So it just depends on where you are. Those are the five steps, and you can do them in the next hour, really, if you sit down. So let's go through, and I'll show you. If you're listening on audio only, then I'll describe exactly what we're talking about. But I'm going to share my screen and kind of pull up the stuff that you can use. Okay, so as you can see, this is a very basic cash flow statement. And if you're just listening, really what it is, I have my inflows on one side and my outflows on the other. I've got it broken out in monthly, annually, and then I have it totaled at the bottom with a net gain or loss based on how much my inflow versus how much my outflow is. This is super basic, but if you haven't ever done this, then it's worthwhile going through the process. So in this deal, I've really just gone through and I'm making up some things. So this could be like your salary could be the first things that you put in. So if you have a salary, husband and wife, you know, you've got $100,000 for income one, $65,000 for income two, whatever it is, you know, put your numbers in there for the annual basis, and then it breaks it out into the monthly. So if all you have are your salaries, then it's pretty easy. You just put one, two, however many salaries you have in your household. At $165,000, it's $13,750 per year or per month, sorry, that you would have coming into the house. And I'm assuming that this is net of, you know, taxes and liabilities, all that stuff. And then on the outflow side, I've got a bunch of stuff. I've got, maybe this is your mortgage. You've got taxes maybe on the property. I already filled in some numbers. Yeah. So what I did is I just pre-filled a number of these slots and just kind of made up expenses to the tune of about $15,000 for that's on a monthly basis. So I think in here I came in, this is maybe like student tuition, stuff like that. And so whatever it was, I came down, I also put in vacation, $6,000 per year for vacations. And that stuff, if you want to have it, you should put it in here so that you know how much you're actually going to need. So some of these things you may put as, you might put them as would be nice to haves, and you can take them out. So right here, the nice to haves are $6,000 for vacation, $12,000, so $1,000 a month to savings, $20,000 per year to retirement, and $50,000 per year goes to investments, right? So if I take all of those out, then my cash flows would look pretty good. But right now I have them all in and my outflow is almost $16,000 per year. My inflow is only 13.7. So I have a net loss of around $2,000
per month that I lose. So obviously I need to get rid of some of this stuff. So again, you go through this process, you'll figure out where you are, you'll figure out your current situation. And then what I would recommend is you have your nice to have situation, like where you want to be, how your ideal life is. You know, if you want to have five houses, then you need to take care of the mortgages and put them all into this statement. So then you say, this is how much money I need to be making actively and passively in order for me to live the life that I want to live. Okay, so that's step number one. Again, getting to your number and actually knowing what your number is. So let me delete all those. So right now, if we were making $165,000 a year and my outflows are $100,000 per year, then I've got about $5,300, $5,400 per month in excess that I have to either invest or to save or to do something with, right? So that's the number that you're looking for. And if you are trying to replace your outflows with passive income, then this also will give you a very clear indication as to how much money you need to be making. So right now, based on the numbers I made up, I need to be making $8,300 per month passively in order to retire and not have to work anymore. So that's also a very cool number to know. So again, that's that document. All right. So the next step is filling out your personal financial statement. Go to the site, download all the documents, and you can fill all these things out. I'll get to that in just a minute. But so your PFS, your personal financial statement, is going to list all your assets, all your liabilities, and it's going to drill down to your net worth. Okay. So when you are looking at investments of all sorts, right? If we focus on multifamily or real estate in general, if you're going to get a bank loan, a bank is going to want to see your PFS, your personal financial statement. So just going through the process of creating one and having it ready and updating it over time while you're looking at investments is something you need to be working on. Again, free, super easy to create and have on hand. And it gives you information you need for the next steps. So again, if you're just listening to this, then really it gives you cells for your an Excel spreadsheet. So to give you cells for all your personal information, your co-borrower, if you have a wife or spouse or anybody that's going to be co-borrowing with you, fill out their information, social security and all that. And then it gets down into the actual financial profile. Again, it lists out assets. So cash on hand, securities that you may own in the stock market, unlisted securities, which could be investments in private offerings and notes that you have receivable, any all kinds of different things. So it breaks out businesses and then it gives you space further down to really list out. And if you own a lot of real estate, there's a schedule of real estate owned that you fill out that feeds into this document as well. So all that stuff will be available. So again, you have on the left side, you got all your assets, right side, you have all your liabilities. And I've just made up a bunch of numbers in here. Total assets for this person is 5.1 million. And total liabilities, they've been paying cash for everything and really been diligent and paying things off. Total liabilities is just $163,000. So total net worth is $4.9 million. Okay. So then when you're filling these things out for banks specifically, they ask you a number of questions. Are you a guarantor? Are you married? All these things. So you fill all those things out. It's not necessary if you're not submitting this to a bank, but if you're going to use it for a bank, then you definitely want to use it.
We're proud to be sponsored by Ridgeline Investment Group. Ridgeline has a track record of transacting more than $53 million in assets throughout Texas. Ridgeline is currently looking to acquire 100 to 200 unit Class B multifamily communities between 5 and 20 million in San Antonio, Temple, Waco, Tyler, and other Texas secondary markets. To learn more about Ridgeline Investment Group, visit www.ridgelineig.com.
Again, then when you get lower down in the form, you have your asset schedules. So you're going to break out how much cash you have in the bank and which banks they're at and what kind of accounts they are. Stocks. Who is the stock? Is it Apple? Is it Tesla? Like, what's the stock? Mortgages receivable. So I believe I put this in because I've sold a bunch of notes and owned a bunch of notes, created notes for properties that I've had. So I think I created mortgages receivable, but that could be any non-listed securities. So again, if you've bought into multifamily apartment offering, then you could list that here and how much you receive on a monthly basis. So again, filling this information out gives you the basis, your cash flows along with your asset liability net worth, so that then you can
put it together and really come to a determination of the different options that you have. That's number three. The reason you need to know where your cash flow situation is, one, it's for your, you can't really make any goals. You can't set goals necessarily if you don't know where you are. You can't really get somewhere if you don't know your current situation. If you are, you know, $500,000 in debt and you have no job, then you're in a much different situation than somebody who has been working for a long time. They have money in the bank. They have a number of assets. They can obviously execute on different types of opportunities. What's important, again, figure this side of it out and then determine really the next action items that you have. All right. So we've gone through the first two steps, cash flow statement and your personal financial statement. So the next step is to figure out what type of investment opportunities you either qualify for or you are able to execute on in the easiest way possible. And so this may be somewhat difficult if you don't know all the options and opportunities that are out there or available. So I'm going to highlight a few. And then from there, I think it's really a matter of doing a little bit of education. I'm happy to put out more content on this specifically. And so I'll probably do a series where we can actually go over some of the different strategies. But there's a lot of information available. So let's say that you have a little bit of cash in the bank and you have some time, right? That could be one setup, meaning you have a job, but you're able to manage a project. You may want to get into the remodel business, right? Where you are able to hire a general contractor. You use a little bit of your cash to purchase the property, but maybe you get a hard money loan. And so they pay for the majority of the purchase. You take your cash and you finance the rehab on the building. And then you turn around, flip that thing and you cash out, pay off the hard money loan, and you take your money. That strategy is really good for cash today, right? You just have to buy it right. And so that's one strategy to build up capital reserves or capital, right? Another strategy is a BRRRR model. Take that same property and instead of selling it at the end, you're going to buy, remodel, refinance, and then rent. Okay, lots of ours. And so you take that same capital that you had and you flip that property, but you refinance it and you try to get to where you're like 80% loan to value once you have fully remodeled the property. There's a number of reasons to do that. One, you have equity built up in the property. You're able to refinance and pull all your cash out, so you have no money out of pocket after you've done the remodel. And then you're skipping like private mortgage insurance, which is PMI, which kills some cash flow whenever you're renting properties out. That's a good strategy as well. But it just depends on how much cash you have. And because some of those deals, you may not get all your capital back. So if you only have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to put into a deal and you're only getting 30 out of the 40 back, then you've just cut the ability for you to go buy your next deal, right? So again, you just knowing some of those strategies. If you are an accredited investor, there are other options that are open for you. Again, you take that same $40,000, you may be able to go invest in a 200-unit apartment community. And that's truly passive. You just put your money into it and it's a five-year time horizon. You get that money back with quarterly distributions for the cash flows that are coming from that property. So there are a lot of different strategies, and I'm going to bring more guests on the show that are venture capitalists, guests who are looking at green hydrogen investing, all kinds of different strategies and alternative investments that you may not be aware of that you can invest in as well through funds or other means. And the idea is finding one that is suitable, that you qualify for, and that fits your current profile. Okay. So again, that's number three, the third step. Probably would take some time for you to go through and learn all the different strategies. I guess on the same vein, let me continue on that. You can go and buy houses. This is a strategy that I used to use. I would buy a house for, say, $80,000. I would put nominal amount of money, 10, 15, something to fix it up. And then I would owner finance the house for $160,000, get a 10% down payment. So I was getting cash back into my pocket. And then I'd have a note for 160 minus 16, 140, 136, right? So I'd have a note for 136 and I was in the deal for 90. At a 10% interest rate, you know, my payments on the money that I had invested was probably a 20% return, something like that. So it's a really good strategy. That was a strategy that I employed many times over and I still do that. Again, there's a lot of different ways that you can get into an investment. It's just a matter of learning each of those strategies and picking one that suits, I guess, your skill level, your ability, and tolerance, which is the next step. So really, step four, again, determine your risk tolerance. There are a number of deals that the risk is scaled up, but the returns are scaled up as well. This is like venture capital. These guys will invest in 10. I think it's a model of you invest in 10, most of them go to zero, and you hope for one or two unicorns that are just going to explode. And that's really like the model. So for the average investor, you, me, it may not be the best strategy to invest in one of those deals because they also have a 10-year time horizon. You know, you're waiting for 10 years to see which one pops. So really knowing your tolerance, your risk tolerance, and will help you into deals as well. If you are very risk averse and you want to control everything, then you need to be an active investor, meaning you are going to be the one that goes and finds the deal. You're going to be the one that goes and rehabs it or hires the guy, and you're on point every day, making sure that GC shows up, making sure that they painted that wall, making sure that they installed the baseboard, whatever it is. And that could be you. On the other side, you may be have a higher tolerance for risk and be okay with those venture capital investments. And so, yeah, just knowing that it will help you quickly into a type of investment that you can make. And then finally, the last thing is coming up with an action plan. You've done the work. You know where you are now. You know where you want to be. You're able now to set some goals and say, okay, well, if I have, you know, $5,000 a month in free cash flow that I'm creating based on my job and our outflows, what can I do with that $60,000 per year? How can I put that to work? How much do we need to put into savings? And then how much is left over to invest? And so making the action plan and saying, well, we're going to put away, let's put away $30,000 in savings. The rest we're going to invest. That gives you a very clear number of how many dollars you can invest and how. And so what I would like to do, I would like to create a system and offer this up. It's a little bit unconventional, but I think what would be helpful is, all right, I'm going to do something special, right? So I want to be able to offer some help and assistance to anybody who goes into Apple and reviews the show. Okay. Doesn't have to be five-star reviewed, just honest feedback, honest, like honest assessment of the show. And anybody who does that and gives a review, if you snap a picture of it and you throw it up on our Facebook page, just saying, hey, I did this, then I'm going to go in, I'll message you, and we'll set a time for you to come on a quick call with me, and we'll go through your PFS, we'll go through your cash flow statement, and then I can give you some ideas and pointers on what type of investment strategy may best suit you. So if you want to take me up on that, just follow those instructions, relatively straightforward. Again, just leave a review on Apple, take a picture of it, send it to the, like, post it on our Facebook page, and then we'll reach out to you and we'll set a time that we can actually go over your statement. In addition to that, what you need to do before that call is go to the website, download the documents. You need to get the PFS. You need to get the cash flow statement and fill those things out. Have that done prior to us jumping on a call, and then we can go through it, because I would love to talk to as many people as I can and gauge where you are in your investment cycle, because it will help me put out better content for you to listen to and consume. So yeah, let's do that. I think that'll be really cool. Hopefully that was helpful. And I want to go through again and do more, you know, entry level sort of investment. I was talking to a realtor buddy of mine last night, played volleyball together. And I was asking him, like, have you invested? Have you been doing anything? He said, no. And just started asking me questions. And so for me, I think it's very helpful to have new people come on the show and talk to them and just have them have a question answer. So we're going to do some of that as well. A real estate investor, another buddy at volleyball that he's not an agent, but he's been working for an apartment complex for a while. And so same thing, he had a bunch of questions. Where should I start? What should I do? And so having them on and having those types of questions, we can do some question answer interviews where I get interviewed. So we'll do that. Again, hopefully you guys found this interesting. I am happy to have you here. All right, guys, thanks again for joining me today. And again, go check out all those documents. Make sure you smash that subscribe button and stay tuned for the next episode. Catch you next time.
Surprisingly, most of the agents we speak with got into real estate hoping to gain passive income and become work optional. However, only 1 in 5 ever start investing. Most are simply too afraid to start. Once you get educated by listening to this show, you'll be able to overcome that fear and become the 1 in 5 who are finding financial freedom. Don't miss a single episode. If you want to stay up to date, the best way is to make sure you're subscribed. So if you haven't done that, go ahead and do it now. And we'll catch you on the next episode.